services, and organizations that benefit you as a citizen of Forsyth County. Welcome to Empowering You, your host, Brian Anthony.
Good afternoon. It's noon in the Triad. This is Empowering You. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, General Manager of 90.5 FM WSNC, Brian Anthony. Empowering You highlights local nonprofits in our city, county, and the region, and the many services they provide the citizens of Forsyth County and the Triad, many of which some you don't even know about. We'll also introduce as many of our local corporations that have community initiatives designed to benefit you and to continue to make our region a wonderful place to stay. Not only do we feature nonprofits and corporate community initiatives, we'll also hear from our local entities like Forsyth County Health Department, Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, City of Winston-Salem, all packed into a one-hour show. We also hope that you make it a point to join us every Sunday, pass the word, following money-making conversations at noon. Also, if you happen to miss it, the podcast is available on our website, WSNCradio.org, as is all of our public affairs programming, just by logging on. Click Media, and it's on our navigation bar. You can also access the website. Many of you didn't know this, who have our free mobile app. You can get it on there by downloading your mobile app today in your device's app store. As we always do, you know, every month we have a weekly update from our local entities. That would be the City of Winston-Salem, Winston-Salem Forsyth County Health Department, and of course the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. Today, we're blessed to have in our presence Terry Matthews, who's the volunteer coordinator for the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good. How are you today?
I'm fine. So let me preface this conversation by saying when I got her in the gate, you know, we have to let people in our parking gates. Before I even got to the gate, I felt her energy. She spoke to me, was very energetic. I heard her across the parking lot, so we shouldn't have a problem having this discussion today. Glad to have you on the show with this energy.
I'm glad to be here, and you will never have a hard time hearing me.
See, here we go. It's all good. Let me get into your background first. Where do you come from? I know you're from Winston. We've talked off mic. But what's your career profession and where do you come from before you become the volunteer coordinator?
Okay, so first off, I'm not from Winston. I went to Winston-Salem State.
Okay.
I was born in Burlington, North Carolina, and my dad was in the military.
Okay.
So I've lived a little bit of everywhere all across the United States.
Okay.
Hence, you hear no particular accent, probably stronger Southern now than ever before, after being in this area for the last 30-some years.
Okay,
but,
okay.
Yes.
I've been here for about 16 years. When I go home, people tell me I sound like I'm from the South, but I guess you adapt to where you are. You adapt to where you are.
That
now,
is correct.
Now, your background.
So I went to Winston-Salem State University, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and my major was fine arts. And I marched in the band mm-hmm. when it was the Marching 100, not the Red Sea of Sound.
Okay.
So I just love Winston. I love Winston-Salem State University.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my background, honestly, since I was in college, was working for the YMCA.
Okay.
I worked there for 26 years doing different things. But one of the things that was consistent throughout my years of service with the Y mm-hmm. was working with volunteers.
Okay.
Even before starting my career, I always volunteered in the community myself, and I continue to do that now.
Okay, cool. So you come with dealing with people in the community as a natural thing for you.
Yes.
And then to get volunteers, especially at nonprofits or even for-profit situations, is critical for a lot of operations. Tell me why volunteerism is important to this community.
Well, because there's so many needs in the community, and there's not always a job that meets the needs,
mm-hmm.
but volunteers who are willing to give their time and talents can make a total difference in the community,
mm-hmm.
be it feeding people,
mm-hmm.
be it reading with children,
yeah.
be it just putting a roof over somebody's head for a night that needs shelter. Volunteers can do so many things to mm-hmm. truly make a positive impact for everyone.
Okay. Let me take it off script for a minute. Now, when I think of volunteerism, and the radio station definitely plays in that field, when you're dealing with people in the community that want to volunteer or or think they may want to volunteer, commitment is a major concern with a lot of people, how much time they have to commit. And then do you run into a situation where people utilize volunteerism to put themselves in a position to get paid eventually?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. But one thing you said is around time, mm-hmm. the time commitment. There's no amount of time that you give that is too small, because time is one gift you can't get back. Mm-hmm. I mean, we give of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what you have to give, you share with others. And if it's 15 minutes or if it's 50 hours, mm-hmm. we will take any amount of volunteerism, because, again, it's the one gift that someone gives that is, it's just the most meaningful thing you can give.
Right. Is it relegated to senior citizens, or are we looking on a wide spectrum when we come to the age demographic of volunteers that we're looking for?
Wide spectrum. You can be 5 years old and come with your mom to volunteer and learn how to give back before you can even think about what it is you're doing.
Yes.
Understanding that and creating that culture is great. A lot of our seniors or our older adult population give because they're retired and they have the time to give and they want to continue to have impact in the community.
Okay.
So what they do is give many hours. Mm-hmm. But again, there's no gift of your time that is too small. No gift that's too large will take you for right. as many, many hours right. as you want
right.
to give.
Right, right. Let me start with this. We know that teachers are in need. There are a lot of positions in the Winston-Salem Forsyth County schools that have a revolving door on them. People come and go. Why is volunteerism important to the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School District?
Well, there are multiple reasons why volunteering is so mm-hmm. important in our school system. One, to support our teachers. A lot of times teachers might not have an assistant teacher. Mm-hmm. So being able to go into the classroom and give support to individual scholars as a volunteer allows the teacher to focus on the larger picture, which is educating the whole class.
Okay.
Sometimes there may be a student who needs a little help reading or a little help with math, and a volunteer can step in and give that support while a teacher continues on with their classwork.
Right, right. What are some of the things that a volunteer can help with in the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School District?
So one of the main things that we need help with right now is our goal of 90 by 25. And that is 90% of third graders reading at grade level by mm-hmm. 2025. So we do very intentional work around getting volunteers to help our scholars read. We have a program called Reading Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Reading Warriors is a program designed specifically to enhance the reading skills of children. Kindergarten, first grade is where it starts, and mm-hmm. they really focus in on creating those skills. So we have volunteers that do that program. There's okay. a paid staff person that organizes the program, but then the program is solely volunteers going in and spending their time and talents with our scholars.
Mm, okay. How many volunteers were you all able to get in last year, and what is your goal annually?
So last year there were 10,600 and some volunteers that were registered.
Mm-hmm.
All of them weren't able to get engaged last year due to the pandemic and still some of the COVID rules. So far this year, and that was at the end of last year,
okay.
that we had 10,000.
Okay. Okay.
This year so far we have 7,964. That was when I left. There could be a few more in queue
okay.
by the time I get back.
Okay.
But 7,000 already, mm-hmm. almost 8,000, is huge. So we know the impact that people can make if they just even volunteer 1 hour.
Okay, okay. Do you get a lot of support in volunteerism from the parents?
We do.
Oh, good.
The largest population of volunteers is parents. And the number one thing that people want to volunteer doing is going on field trips. But we have lots of opportunities for people to engage with us.
I don't think I could have had either one of my parents accompany me on a field trip. I would have felt so uncomfortable on a field trip with my parents watching over my shoulder.
Field trip opportunity is usually our kindergarten through fifth grade. When they get to middle school, they're not interested in their parents.
It really didn't matter. Oh, that's good. That's good. If somebody's interested in applying to be a volunteer, how do they go about doing that?
So there's multiple ways that you can go about doing it. Everyone has to register and be vetted, mm-hmm. but you can go directly to our WSFC website mm-hmm. and go onto the Families and Communities link,
okay.
and you will see how to volunteer there.
Mm-hmm.
That also has our job descriptions listed for mm-hmm. our volunteers
okay.
and some do's and don'ts.
Okay.
But then you can go directly to www.wsfc.org. WSFCSvolunteers.com, mm-hmm. and that will take you to a link that will allow you to apply.
Okay. As state regulations would have it, there's some vetting that goes into it because you're dealing with kids, and mm-hmm. you have to know who you're bringing into the school that's not under the, I guess, the district system of being vetted, having to go through an application process, going through a criminal check. How is that process for you guys?
So when you register to volunteer, automatically we have the AOC check, basically your local background check for mm-hmm. any crimes or mm-hmm. anything you've committed. We have the national sex offender check that is run, and then we just have a national check, period, of any crimes that someone could have done.
Okay.
So every volunteer that volunteers with the school system, their background check comes across my desk,
mm-hmm.
and if you've done nothing, you don't pop up in queue to get vetted. If you've
That's
done something,
thing.
then I have to go through a little bit of a research project.
That's good. I think that makes the parents of people who are in school, the kids that are in school, feel a lot more comfortable, because that's always a concern, who your kids are around when they're at school and what their backgrounds are, because you never know any other people in school unless you go home with them every day. You never know what you're dealing with. So that's always putting people at a comfort zone. Greek letter organizations, corporations, nonprofit organizations, a lot of them have volunteer programs. Are they able to volunteer with the Winston-Salem Forsyth County?
They sure can. We have opportunities for everyone. Everyone still has to go through the vetting process as individuals,
mm-hmm.
but we do have meetings that we will set up with an organization to go through opportunities and share those opportunities with them,
mm-hmm.
and then they can select as an organization mm-hmm. or a service organization, they can decide whether they want to all volunteer doing one thing
mm-hmm.
or they as individuals can do different things. Like
okay.
Reading Warrior, for example, mm-hmm. you would do that as an individual on your own time, but your group could still say all 15 of us are going to sign up as Reading Warriors and we're going to serve this many hours to make a difference for scholars.
Okay. What is the biggest need in terms of volunteer help that you need in the district? I know we talked about the different opportunities that are there, but you're in the battlefield with it every day. You go through the screening process. You know what the needs are. What are the immediate needs where you need the most help?
We need mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And then reading buddies and reading warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And classroom helpers, again, because our education system, we're short on teachers and teachers' assistants, so that extra classroom help is always needed.
Okay.
But mentors,
okay.
just other people pouring into our scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Parents do a great job,
mm-hmm.
But they can't do it alone, and teachers mm-hmm. can't do it alone. So someone taking the time to share their story
mm-hmm.
and share time with our scholars
mm-hmm.
when a parent has to work and can't maybe come and be a lunch buddy or can't come and read with the child. Being a mentor and just being able to pour into children is what we need the most.
Let's get into a touchy area then.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a mentor, one of the biggest challenges in the school district are minority men.
Yes.
What do you see is the best way for you, and what would assist you in getting more men into the door in mentorship? That's a tough area because in the family structure, we know that that's where the deficiency is. We know that.
I think, and I will make a plea
mm-hmm,
while
mm-hmm,
we're here.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a male of color and you have any time, because people think it's you have to have 20 hours of time or you have to have so many hours a week,
mm-hmm.
any time that you could give to our scholars would help. So if you are a male of color, any male, but a male of color, and you would like to give of your time and you don't think you have enough time,
mm-hmm.
any time is enough time. Time seems to be a barrier for people. And I don't want that to be a limiting factor. If you can only give 3 hours out of the whole year, that's
mm-hmm.
3 hours of difference that you've made in a child's life.
Yeah, yeah.
And our children need to see themselves in our volunteer base.
Yeah, yeah, that's important. I think a lot of the societal issues that we're dealing with especially in the inner city communities, where it's highly publicized, but it goes on everywhere, is the family structure has completely deteriorated for the most part. I know a lot of kids and a lot of male kids, the stories that I hear are without the influence of their fathers. And when that happens and you're being raised in a single family home and the mother is the primary caregiver or the primary guardian, nothing bad about the mothers, but the mothers have difficulty teaching the young men how to become men. So they're left to video games, their buddies, to teach them how to be men. So guys, really, if you have an hour, 2 hours where you can come talk to these young men that go to school, and it starts early in the elementary school and preschool as well. If you have the time to volunteer, please do so, because it's highly important to these young men to see themselves later on in life and see that there is some exposure there. They have to have, my biggest asset for me when I was coming up was my parents exposed me. My father was tough on me, and I remember having, everybody else, I guess, did not have fathers as I remember it. Most of them did because we came up in that family structure back then. But the ones that didn't always looked to my dad for mentorship in the neighborhood. Or he was a teacher, so he had additional kids in the school. That's highly important. I was blessed to have that, but I can't imagine what life would be without that. That's crazy.
Well, and you bring up a good point. Mm-hmm. In our past, the village was the family. Mm-hmm. It was not just your immediate family. Mm-hmm. So if you are a dad and you're going to spend time with your scholar mm-hmm. at lunch, what's wrong with eating lunch with another scholar? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with bringing a few children together and being a role model or a mentor to all of them? A mentor is not a role. It's being present yes. and listening and yes. caring. Yes. Anyone can be a mentor. Yes. Anyone can have a positive impact. You don't have to have a huge degree. You don't have to, you know, there are all these preset notions of what a volunteer is or what a mentor is. Mm-hmm. A mentor is someone who is willing to give of their time and share their story mm-hmm. so that someone can learn from their experiences.
Okay. We talked about organizations. Let me get into the Divine Nine.
Yes.
Let me start with when I talk about us, the Divine Nine, I always utilize my own organization, and I'll call us out first because I know we got a mentorship program. How successful have you been in being able to get Greek letter organizations, including the Omegas, involved in the school district and your volunteering effort?
So being new to the school system, mm-hmm. I'm not certain what the efforts have been in the past.
Okay.
But we did just recently go to the student engagement fair, mm-hmm. and we were able to speak to several of the Greek letter organizations. We do have some engagement from some of the alumni chapters.
Okay.
And I'm a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority okay. Incorporated. Okay. So I call my sorors to come and volunteer with some of the scholars as well.
Okay.
I think we have a great opportunity as people of color who have service as part of who we are mm-hmm. to give back to the scholars in our community.
Yeah, we do a lot of yard stepping. But what I'd like to see Greek letter organizations do is become more prominent in the gaps in our communities. That's what I would like to see, but that's neither here nor there. We have to do that as a unified organization or unified organizations to be able to, and we should take the lead on that, I think.
I agree.
Let me get off my soapbox. What has been in your short period of time? You started when? With the Salem Forsyth County.
January 31st.
Okay. What can you share with us some of the success stories that some of the volunteers have had or an experience where somebody really made a difference?
So I can share with you that during the Reading Warriors program, mm-hmm. one of the volunteers was sharing with me the beginning of their experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where their scholar that they were working with was very shy mm-hmm. and didn't really want to engage with them much.
Okay.
But the consistency of her showing up every week,
mm-hmm.
as weeks went on, the barrier started to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the second year that she was working with, and actually the program's in year two,
mm-hmm.
but when they finished that first year, the scholar had changed
oh, wow.
and looked forward to her coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to mention names because mm-hmm. there's privacy for our scholars.
Yeah.
but she saw the difference in the growth. And what I will tell you is, as a volunteer, you could tell that she knew she had made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the smile on her face and knowing that she had had a positive impact
mm-hmm.
impacted me. It was priceless
right.
because she knew that the time, the gift that you can't get back,
right,
the
right,
time
right.
was not wasted
right.
on that young scholar.
Right.
And she knew that she had made a difference for not only child now, but in their future.
Yeah. The most important gratifying thing is if you can just help one, you've had a successful day. It's a very successful effort. So in your short period of time, you've been there since January. What are some of the things that you've seen that you would like to see grow? What would you like to have as part of your legacy in this role as you move forward? What are some of the things that you need to enhance in your role as a volunteer coordinator? And for those of you who are just now tuning in, I'm talking to Terry Matthews, the volunteer coordinator with the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School System. Go ahead.
So I would like, again, to just continue to grow our volunteer population, but not so much in numbers, but in the amount of service. Mm-hmm. When you have a good person, mm-hmm. you want to use them in as many ways as they are willing to give.
Absolutely.
Because great volunteers are hard to come by. And mm-hmm. when you find one, you want them to be willing to give you more of their time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also say I would want the community to understand how important it is in these times to give of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be with the school system, although I want you to be with the school system. Find your passion and your purpose and find ways to do that mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in the community. Mm-hmm. Find ways to give back. If you love animals, go to the animal shelter and volunteer. Yeah. If you love babies, go to the women's hospital and knit hats.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your purpose is, whatever your passion is, mm-hmm. find that and find ways to use your passion and your purpose to give back in the community.
Yes.
For the school system, we need you to read with our scholars and be a part of their lives and be a mentor and a positive influence, mm-hmm. a positive presence mm-hmm. in their lives.
I can see that happening. A lot of people are retired in this community, and they spend a lot of time doing a lot of different things. I always try to encourage people because I'm fortunate. I know what having two parents in my household meant to me and meant to where I am now. But everybody doesn't have it like that. I would encourage some of the retirees that have had successful careers to volunteer your time to give back to at least one, several students, just in conversation. You never know what sharing your life story, the exposure that you're giving these kids, and some hope that there is something else out there than what their atmosphere, their environment provides for them. Is there anything that we've missed about the program that you want to add?
No, it's just easy. It's easy to volunteer, and if you need help with getting your volunteer application filled out, mm-hmm. I'm available. I have filled out many a volunteer application for different people.
Okay.
If they don't have access, don't let access to a computer be a limiting factor.
Absolutely.
For becoming a volunteer. And we are working diligently to try to figure out more ways to engage our bilingual community
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In volunteer opportunities. We have, I think it is 24% of our scholars mm-hmm. are Latino,
mm-hmm.
and they come from homes that don't necessarily are not as of yet bilingual, so they might be predominantly Spanish speaking.
Okay.
And if that is the case, we want to get those families engaged in their scholars' lives during the school day as well. So we are looking for ways to get volunteers in to translate for mm-hmm, families. Mm-hmm. So you would volunteer side by side with another volunteer
okay.
and be in a classroom and be able to get families engaged.
Yeah.
It's important to see yourself in yeah. who is in your school and yeah. helping to make a difference in your yeah. life.
Once again, volunteers, if you're interested, how do they apply?
You can go to www.wsfcsvolunteers.com
mm-hmm.
or you can go to the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School homepage, click
okay.
on Families and Community, and go to How Can I Volunteer?
Okay. Direct link to you?
Direct. They can call me anytime. Mike, may I give
yeah,
them my number? Is that okay?
Absolutely. That was a tennis ball toss. You're supposed to hit that out of the park. Go ahead.
My direct line is 336-748-4000, mm-hmm. and you can reach me at extension 70413.
And you would be talking to Terry Matthews, the volunteer coordinator for the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. Been a pleasure to talk to you. Continued success. I know you're going to be successful because you have successful energy.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. And if you are interested, don't hesitate. I am there all day.
And she, look, this energy doesn't go anywhere. It's the same when she answers the phone. It's going to be just like that. Thank you again.
Thank you.
community, and nonprofit organizations in the Triad. A portion of our mission at WSNC is to connect the community. We have several platforms to help enhance awareness throughout the Triad of the many activities and events provided by countless organizations. Workshops, lectures, motivational speakers, healthcare screenings, seminars, you name it, it's happening in the Triad. We strive to be a major connection for our listeners and want to make sure to offer organizations consistent access to inform the public. If you're responsible for your organization's marketing and or publicity, or you know who is and can pass this information on to them, at least 2 weeks prior to the event, send us details on organization letterhead to WSNC Community Calendar. Email it to WSNCFM@gmail.com. WSNC is an NPR affiliate owned and operated by Winston-Salem State University. Welcome back to Empowering You on this Sunday. We're into October, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as well as Fire Prevention Month and several other things that people are observing. But I wanted to take the time. We haven't done this in a while. I think I did it earlier in April to kind of update you on where the radio station is. We're going into the fourth quarter. I'm working on some things that will get the radio station and help us to get introduced to the business community. And we'll get into that in a few. But first, I wanted to introduce you to someone who potentially you could hear on this side of the microphone at some point in time with Empowering You, especially when I'm, you know, not available or out of town. But I look forward to him being able to take control of this microphone as if I'm here and you not losing a step in terms of getting information. He's well connected in the community, does a lot of community organization with a lot of different organizations in the community. Yeah, I know that kind of sounds crazy, but that's what he does. Let me introduce to the audience Alvin Atkinson, and you'll have to tell him what your title here is with the university.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Mm-hmm. My title.
Are you not going to be that easy getting into this? You must be nervous.
No, that's how I'm talking.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a message. But my title is the Associate Director for the Center for the Study of Economic Mobility.
Okay.
And I added a title to that.
Okay.
I put in the Community Engagement Lead and the Associate Director. I'm taking that community.
Okay. Okay, I got you. Now I see why you lightly stepped into that introduction.
Yes.
Alvin, full disclaimer, Alvin served on the search committee that filled the position of general manager for WSNC back in 2000. And I think you all started in 2017, and we finished the process late 2017, and I became the general manager in late probably mid-December of 2017 and took control of the station in 2018. I wanted to bring him in because he heard the presentation about what direction I wanted the station to go in, what I was thinking, you know, what my mindset was. So today we're going to give him the opportunity to ask me the questions. So to kind of update you on what we've done in the last 4 years and what this fourth quarter is going to be like heading into 2023.
Great. I didn't know I was actually going to have this opportunity to.
No, he did not.
Revisit this person who I did sit on the search committee,
mm-hmm.
and was blown away by his response. And then now I'm here 4 years later to sort of do a report card. Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Yes.
I'm in the principal's office all the time.
But during that time, the radio station had almost was invisible on campus,
mm-hmm.
and we needed someone with your experience and expertise to come in. And of course, once you got on this side of the table, you say, oh, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah, I kind of did.
But what you were able to do was put together a strategic plan,
mm-hmm.
that would actually demonstrate your skills and doing what you said could be done,
mm-hmm.
for WSNC.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what you said in that strategic plan?
As a matter of fact, I do. I keep all my notes. I did a preparation plan that I wrote out for my interview, as a matter of fact. It was 6 steps. The first plan was to give the university something that I didn't hear the 16 years prior to of me being here, and that's its own voice in the community. When I listened to the radio station, I didn't hear anything about Winston-Salem State coming through the speakers. I heard a lot of great jazz, but that wasn't in my mindset what public radio was, especially public radio for an institution like an HBCU, Winston-Salem State is. So that was part of the first part of it. Then I also knew we had to correct the presentation. I knew once I started interviewing that there was a revenue piece to the university, to the radio station, a fundraising piece that I had to approach and to try and accomplish. Anybody in radio knows there used to be a time when corporations, businesses would donate money to a cause. This cause would be jazz, keeping jazz on the radio, or contributing to an HBCU radio station, period. Those days are long gone. Prior to COVID, I think back in 2008 when we had the economic downfall, companies were not allowed to contribute or put marketing money behind a cause. What they want to know is, how many people can you get me in front of to get my message out there? The other part of that was, number two, this radio station, as I look around the media resources that are great here in the Triad, but there was no one really putting themselves in a position to get information out to the community. Number one, get the businesses and the organizations that are around the Triad to actually bring information to us, and then for us to disseminate it to the community that we serve. That wasn't happening either. And then I also wanted to bring the radio station up to speed in terms of technology. Of course, you can hear 90.5 all around Forsyth County, parts of Greensboro on the south side, because we have a directional signal. There's a reason why we can't really be heard around A&T. That's fine. And north of Highway 40. There's a signal that comes out of Danville, Virginia, that I just heard last week when I was in Danville. That's a top 40, I think it's a top 40 radio station. So for us to bleed in on their signal would be a problem, because their signal is strong and ours is as well. So if we'd have been bleeding in on that, that would have been a problem for them in Danville. So I wanted to bring up the technology to give people an opportunity to hear the product that we were putting together, the station that we were putting together, the talk shows that are on our station, and then eventually something that was missing from the radio airwaves here, broadcast of athletic events. I had never been to an HBCU campus that had a radio station that wasn't broadcasting the football games and basketball games. It just kind of threw me off. And it's an added revenue piece as well. So I said, that's got to happen. Whatever it takes to make that happen, that's got to happen. So and then the last part of that process is student and community members who have an interest in radio, this being a developmental radio station, the atmosphere is just like a regular radio station. The demands of the responsibilities of the people that work here are the same as a radio station, because of our grant, we are in position to have to meet criteria to maintain that grant, the same as regular radio station, audience growth and revenue growth. So those were the things that we were looking at to improve upon initially before I even got in the door.
Yes, and so here we are,
mm-hmm.
4 years later.
Four and a half and a pandemic of 2 years later.
But from your answer,
mm-hmm.
you've already accomplished several of those things, and that's tremendous. You talked about the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about giving WSSU a voice,
mm-hmm.
a place,
mm-hmm.
connecting,
mm-hmm.
an opportunity for students to mm-hmm. get that training to really take and perhaps take over your job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would love that. I mean, you know, you but you but it, believe this: if you take over a general manager position, you better have the skill set, because in this business, it I call it shark infested, and you become meat.
Yes.
And so, if your skill set is not intact, then you'll have a short lived career in radio or media.
Let's go back to this. You didn't put this on the list, but soon as you got into the position, you were actually presented with some financial statements.
Yeah, I do. I do. And that's going to help me get into this conversation about where we're heading. Yeah, I do. I was presented on day number one. As many people know, we are granted by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And we receive a grant somewhere close to $100,000 a year for operational procedure, spending. Some of it's restricted, 30% of it's restricted, and then 70% of it is not. What that does is it helps to give us an opportunity to upgrade equipment, hire staffing, address fundraising, and give the students and the community people who come in here to learn radio an opportunity to see top-notch equipment and how to broadcast a facility in the automated world of radio these days. Yeah. So that was the first thing. That was the first thing. That grant was in trouble because we weren't meeting the criteria on the revenue side. Yes. We weren't meeting it on the audience growth side either. So that enabled me to make decisions immediately as soon as I got in, and found that out on the first day that action had to take place, changes needed to be made. Funny enough, 2 weeks after being here, I got a call from Corporation of Public Public Broadcasting to ask me, oh, good, you're the new general manager. So who are you? Where did you come from? And what do you plan to do to turn this around? Because you're in a track for removal from the grant because you haven't met the criteria. Now, anybody that is supported by a grant knows that there are end results that you have to meet. Outcomes. Yeah, outcomes. That's the correct word for it. Because most of these grants are research grants. And that's what this grant is. We're building a radio station to determine if we can grow an audience and find revenue to support what we're doing. And that's been happening slowly, but not to the tune of what the ground level number is, which I'm not going to mention on the air. The ground level number is for Corporation of Public Broadcasting. For the last 4 years, we've been in danger of losing this grant. So that was the first financial hardship.
Just got the job and got the news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But here we are now, ready to move into the next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And things have been accomplished that really, I was so pleased that you came on board to lead WSNC in this effort.
Mm-hmm.
What is next for us? What can we expect in this next quarter?
Well, there are several things that we've done to get us to this point. In order for us to have revenue success, I mentioned earlier that people and companies and corporations generally had arts that they can contribute to, or a specific like for somebody in the organization that they wanted to contribute to. That has gone away. So what we have done is adjusted the presentation starting 2 months after I got here. I think I got here in February. No, March. Actually, a month later, we changed the music presentation. I was concerned about that because I knew that the jazz traditionalists would fall out.
I remember.
Because I've heard that throughout my career with other jazz stations. When smooth jazz went away in major markets, you know, people that were traditionalists were like, well, it was elevator music anyway. Somebody just said that to me about 2 weeks ago, and I said, please define to me what is elevator music. Because to me, as a program director who decides how to enhance an audience growth, my job is to find out, okay, so what is elevator music? To me, if a company puts on music in an elevator, that is because they feel that music has mass appeal. Okay, that's what we needed with this radio station, because when I got here, we were averaging like 10,000 listeners a week. I mean, not a week. A week. 10,000 listeners a week. I'm very pleased that this measurement is done by Nielsen, metrics from our new website that we constructed a couple of years ago that's very interactive to our audience, as opposed to the NPR website that we had that was all news. We're not a news station. So we got a custom website that allows for streaming and viewing of other things that take place that you hear on the air. But out of convenience, and because you're a busy person, you may not be able to listen to that. But if you hear it on the air, you always know to come back to the website. You know what you heard, and you know to look for it on the website. And then the final piece of that was a mobile app. Mobile app and technology is everything nowadays in terms of entertainment, information getting out. We felt like we had to reach alumni across the country. We felt like when we got football and basketball on the air, that would be available for people to listen to across the country. Yes. So there are a lot of things that we've done. The chancellor has his own talk show. We got radio, TV. We got football and basketball on the air. We got the mobile app. We got the new custom website. So now we have the platforms available. And just this year, we've added Empowering You back on the air, this show, because Calvin Patterson did a great job of doing this for years before the pandemic.
I actually did an interview.
I remember that. Calvin did a phenomenal job of establishing this as a show for nonprofits to highlight what they do. Because I tell CEOs that come in here all the time and have conversations with us about their organizations, yeah, by name, people generally know what you do. But they don't really know what you do because they're guessing based off of the name. Okay. Habitat for Humanity. We know what that is. We know what the public library is, but what kind of services do you have inside of that? So this show gives those organizations an opportunity. This is their marketing tool, and there's no cost for that. None. This is a public affairs show, and that's the job of a public affairs show, to provide this airwaves free of charge for you to publicize what it is you're doing as an organization. So with that said and done, we've done all of that. Now I can go to a business owner, a donor who's interested in donating to keeping jazz and the type of programming we have on the air available. I just heard the other day somebody say, I love the station because I'm tired of listening to regular radio. Yeah, that's fine. I'm still a proponent because I got people that work there that their livelihoods depend on you tuning in. But I want you to come listen to this station because we feel we have the best jazz presentation in the country. Wow. I feel that way at this point. So what does that mean for the local business owner, the local donor, or somebody that wants to sponsor what will be upcoming events that we have that you can get in front of the people that are coming? Because if you just looked at the John Coltrane Jazz Festival, we're a major partner with them for marketing that event. That show was pretty much out in a park, almost sold out. Wow. There was that many people out there. Wow. Downtown Jazz, you can see the number of people that come to that. Carl has done a good job of promoting up-and-coming jazz artists, introducing them to the Winston-Salem community. But the attendance has never really been packed in Corpening Plaza like it has been this summer.
It's
crazy. But that comes from the number of people that are now listening and passing on the word to other people to listen so that they know what's going on in their own community. So now, over the next 3 months, Corporation of Public Broadcasting grant may go away. That's fine. We've gotten grant money from them for 4 years when it wasn't supposed to be there based on their criteria. So we've upgraded equipment. We've upgraded the ability for technology to help us automate the station. You can now read when you're listening to the radio. If you're in vicinity of our reception, you can see who the artist is and who what the name of the song is playing on the song. Because people call up, what was that song I heard at 1:40 2 days ago? And that helps with that. So we can get you now in front of probably 50,000 to 60,000 people. Easily. That's our growth rate. 30 plus thousand, probably close to 40,000 by Nielsen's measurement. And then we've got metrics on our website. We probably have 294 visits a month. 294,000, I'm sorry. 294,000 visits a month. Wow. To our website. I haven't counted the number of downloads, but we market downloads here in Forsyth County. through our alumni presentation on alumni newsletter that goes out, North on Facebook, north of Highway 40. And I definitely focus on marketing this mobile app around A&T's campus.
Absolutely.
And the other part of that is, and we're getting revenue from this piece, Charlotte doesn't have a jazz station. So we're able to
get into that market.
And I'm getting funding from jazz promoters that have jazz artists coming there. Occasionally you have a chance to win tickets to the shows in Charlotte. That's going to increase. So I'll spend the next 4 months with that effort, just introducing the radio station to the business community here in Winston-Salem.
Great. And I know you have, through this program,
mm-hmm.
called this a platform
mm-hmm.
for the guests that you have. Well, we just had a platform
mm-hmm.
for WSNC
mm-hmm.
90.5, basically because of what you've done and how you've helped position WSSU's radio
mm-hmm.
station to now take that next step. So I am so...
Yeah,
glad we hired you.
People that know me know I'm not an in front of the camera kind of person. I'm a behind the scenes kind of person. First of all, the thanks goes to Chancellor Elwood Robinson for having the faith in me, having conversations with me to find out where my head is in terms of the direction for the radio station, and allowing me to execute that.
Yes.
That's monumental. You have no idea how monumental that is. So
maybe I do.
Yeah, my hat's off to him for allowing me the platform to be able to develop and have a piece that Winston-Salem State can be proud of, first of all. I also am proud of the fact that now you can hear Winston-Salem football and basketball. It's amazing. The first year we started doing basketball broadcasts, we won a championship and got that on tape.
Oh.
So that was our first game that we did for basketball. We had a full season of football. So now I will be approaching local businesses that could take advantage of being in front of our fans of athletics here in Winston-Salem State across the country. Especially, we just missed homecoming, but people coming in and out of this market all the time. And they listen from a number of places. So when people are coming into town, it behooves you to support this radio station. No, we don't do commercials, but technically, they're commercials. We just have a certain way we have to present them. They cannot have a call to action. The only call to action that they can have is for more information.
Awesome.
You can't say, meet us there, or beat us there, or we guarantee, you can't do none of that.
Okay.
We provide who, what, when, where, and how. Here's the key. The digital part to that, our website, is not regulated by FCC with public radio. So if you have a commercial, we have places on our website for you to do that. But the branding on air just introduces what you have to offer to our listenership, and they know to go to the sponsorship page if you have something there. For instance, let's say RJ Reynolds, and I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know that they do or not. Let's say they have a $5,000 grant for whatever purpose for people that have smoked. How would you find out about that? It's tough.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Tough.
How would I?
So if RJ Reynolds, we approach RJ Reynolds, if I know that they have a program like that, oh, they're going to get approached about it because it's a community initiative. I'm not interested in really product, but event and community initiative stuff. It's hard to get that on commercial radio and have an impact. You can have an impact with that here. So that's what we approach businesses about, utilizing our underwriting platform, our sponsorship platform for events, to get in front of people, and then we guide them not only to our website, but we provide a link to your website for more information
awesome,
as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I am looking forward to this next quarter.
I believe we're
going to take it to a new level.
Yeah, I hope
and
so.
I really do appreciate you giving me this opportunity
yes.
to sit on this side of the microphone and ask you the
these type of questions.
Yes,
yeah. Indeed. Well, what I will say is all of Triad should be proud, because anybody that's from New York, Philadelphia, on the Eastern seaboard knows for a fact that jazz radio has gone away in their major markets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to say that we've gotten we've gotten a few people that say, you know, I want to hear more Coltrane. Okay, where's your support for the radio station? That's going to be my first question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're supporting it if I see the support that's for traditional jazz improve, we'll have more jazz programming. But right now, it is, I call it gumbo of jazz.
Gumbo.
We just put it in the pot and let it cook. I don't care what the category, big band, Latin jazz, traditional jazz, contemporary jazz, vocalist, not the Luther. Now, even though you hear Regina Bell, Chaka Khan, who else have we heard? Oh, Anita Baker. Several of those artists, Aletta C., but they're singing jazz cuts. They're not singing R&B. And people like to pigeonhole and categorize people that they know are able to sing. Oh, that sounds like R&B. Oh, you got an R&B singer. No, we have a singer that sings jazz on the air.
Jazz gumbo.
Yeah, jazz gumbo. That's what we do. Jazz gumbo. Put it in the pot and let it cook.
Awesome. Well, anything else you want to add?
No, just support the station because, you know, let me give you an example. At any given time, because we are publicly supported, a public radio station, what you can do is wake up one morning because you're so used to hearing this great music and this great programming. I think it's great programming to educate you on social justice. Any morning you can wake up and hear this. That could very easily happen and be a part of 90.5 until they figure out what else they want to do. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow. Why we are doing fundraising is to keep, first of all, this art form alive and well on the radio. Yeah, you can find it on the internet. You can find us on the internet. The marketing is the hard part of that. We already have an established entity now. A radio station with a foundation that when you tune in, you know what to expect. All forms of jazz, all forms of talk that is related right now to social justice, education of it, not just for black people, but for all ethnicities. You know, I've heard you all are leaning too. No, we ain't leaning nowhere. We're just educating you on the facts. If there's anything that you hear non-factual, please call me. And I'll investigate it, and if it's not factual, then I'll be the first to fall on the sword, make a disclaimer about it, put it on the air, and correct it quickly. Because all we want are the facts. We want people to be educated off of facts, not off of opinion.
Awesome. Awesome. Great, great. Again, thank you, Mr. Brian Anthony.
I'm so sick of y'all calling me Mr. I'm just Brian. I'm just Brian of BA. Stop it. Stop it.
BA, that's what I call it. Thank you for allowing me.
Oh, you're quite welcome.